And every time Israel's like, and these warriors all run back and they're terrified and nobody wants to deal with them. And then along comes a little guy, little boy, and his name is David. Verse 17 in that chapter, his father takes him from watching the sheep, gives him some food and some provisions, and says, take this down to your brothers who are fighting in the battle, his older brothers, and go and see how they're doing. So David takes this stuff and he trots on down there. And he overhears the taunts of Goliath, and he hears the Israelites talking. And what does he say? Oh, they're terrified of him again. So David asked the men who were standing with him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David gets indignant. He's like, ha! How dare he? I think he had the indignant face. It was like, he gave him the look. How dare you? How dare you stand up against the armies of the living God? It's disgraceful. You know what? When your Goliaths roar at you and me, we ought to get indignant. We ought to look at it and go, give it the look. How dare this problem stand up to my God? I'm a child of God and it's disgraceful. How dare you? Try saying that to your Goliath, to your problem sometime. How dare you magnify yourself against God? I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. I'm His son. I'm His daughter. You get out of my face. You ought to try and say that to a challenge the next time it comes. You know, maybe you want to do it in your bedroom or something. It might be a little weird if you do it in public. But, you know, try, speak, get indignant with it. Let it know that you're not going to be dominated by that. And let your Goliath, whatever it is, know that God is God and it is not. Then enters David's oldest brother Eliab. Verse 28. And he looks at Eliab looks at David and he says, what are you doing down here, little shepherd boy? You just came down here to watch the battle and see the real men fight. You know, he's just a little kid. And, you know, Eliab's the oldest brother, and they probably give the razz to David. You know, he's just a little guy who had to stay home and watch the sheep. He couldn't go to battle. And the big strong brothers, you're coming down to see us fight. Yeah, the big strong brothers who were fleeing in terror for 40 days. So there's David, and he says, what, can I even speak? Leave me alone. And, you know, there's always going to be naysayers in your life. There's always going to be people who are going to come and tell you, you can't do it. What are you doing here? What do you think you're doing? This is going to swallow you up. You know, Job's comforters. You ever have any of Job's comforters ever come and visit you? Remember Job's comforters, how he's afflicted, and they all came and they say, oh, Job, I'm so sorry. If only you hadn't sinned and been so wicked and been evil, this wouldn't happen. And if you would just repent, then everything will get better. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for those encouraging words. Oh, yeah. Have you ever received those encouraging words from somebody? I have. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. So there they are with Eliab and Job's comforters. But, you know, the devil is called in Revelation the accuser of the brethren. And he will come and accuse you. He will tell you all kinds of reasons why you will never succeed. He'll throw seeds of all kinds of garbage your way. You can't. You'll never will. David does not listen to that voice. He just says, what? Can't I say anything? And he goes right at it and he asks some other people. And he plows through that and he marches up to the king and he says, don't let anybody be afraid. I'll go out and fight this Philistine. Well, and King Saul looks at him. He's like, are you kidding? You're just a little kid. And he's been a warrior since he was a little kid. I don't think Goliath ever was a little kid. I think he was always, wow. How big was that kid when he was born? Oh man, pity his mother. Yikes. So Saul was just absolutely incredulous. You can't. You can't. You can't. Never listen to the voice that says you can't. The voice that says you can't is a lie. It's a lie. You know why? God says you can. God says you can. My wife spent years trying to instill that message into me. I grew up in a family of you can't. She grew up in a family of you can. They did a lot of stuff. And I grew up in a family of you can't. I had a lot of trouble with that. I had to learn to get rid of that voice. But it was the voice that was a generational curse. It was the voice of the enemy trying to keep me down. Tell me you can't. Don't listen to those voices of doubt and self-doubt. Don't listen to it. So David, when he comes to Saul, what does he do? He counters it with a testimony. He says, let me tell you what happened. I was guarding my sheep, and a lion came out. And when it came out, I went at it, and I grabbed it by its beard. He grabbed it by the mane, and he smacked it on the head, and he killed the lion and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. A bear came, and he smacked the bear, and he looks at Saul, and he says, and this Philistine will be no different. I killed the lion and the bear, and I can do it to this Philistine. And you know what his testimony did? That's why I like testimonies in church. It sparked faith in Saul. All of a sudden, Saul looked at this impossible, a little kid. He's going to send a little kid out to fight this monster? And all of a sudden, David's testimony sparks some faith in him. And he looks at David and he says, go, and the Lord be with you. How is this possible? How is this possible? So David's going to go, and then he says, no, well, wait, we got to dress you up. Of course, he tries to throw armor on him, and that doesn't work. So David, remember, I wanted to point out, when you get into battle against a Goliath, remember God's faithfulness from time past. Remember how we've talked about how the Israelites built altars? When God met with them, they'll build an altar here, and they build an altar here. Why? So they could remember what God did. You need to remind yourself on a regular basis of what God has done. My wife has been really good for me. I hate to journal. And God will move, or the Lord will give me a word, and something will happen, and she'd say, you got to write that down. Write it down. And I'm like, oh, do I have to write it down? Yes, write it down. And so I write them all down. And later on, I'll read these sometimes. And as I'm reading them, I feel the encouragement come into me. I'm like, yeah, God did that. You know why? Because when you get in the battle, you forget. All that stuff goes out the window. All of a sudden, it's like, ah! And you're not thinking about that. You have to remind yourself of the faithfulness of God. It doesn't mean we live in the past, but remind yourself of what he's done. Don't forget it. Don't lose it. God wants to speak from the past, the present, and into the future in your life. Remember his faithfulness. David did it, and it propelled him. David did it, and it propelled him into the battle. Uh-oh. Maybe it'll propel you into a battle. I don't know. But his testimony, when he did it, caused faith to rise and remember what God has done. So David advances to the battle line. And in verse 41, Goliath is standing there. Rawr, and David comes walking out, and Goliath looks at David. And he's like, am I a dog? Did you come out with sticks? You're sending this child out to fight me? And he says he cursed David by his gods. And he said, come here, I'm going to give your carcass to the birds of the air. I'm going to squash you flat. And now I want to look at exactly what David said, because it's so good. It's so good. Whoops. Well, there's what Saul said to him. But David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. This day I will strike you down, cut off your head, and give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the creatures of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those assembled here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Oh, we could preach 3 or 4 messages just out of that. Wow. David's not talking about defeating Goliath. He's talking about God defeating Goliath. He is completely trusting that God is able to take anything out. God can take Goliath out, totally able to defeat him. And what does he do? He's speaking the word. He's speaking the word out against Goliath. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. It's God fights my battles. David knew the word. I mean, you read in the Psalms, and sometimes David sounds like a worrier. And, oh God, this is so terrible. But then he finishes as a warrior. But I trust in your everlasting faithfulness. Your mercies are new. He constantly affirms God's victory. He always does it. And here he speaks that positive word of victory because of God fighting for them. And then we come to my favorite verse. Here it comes. As Goliath moves closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. He didn't sneak out. He didn't try to sneak up on Goliath from behind and whack him in the back. He didn't cower. He didn't come out shivering. He ran toward him. Boom! Wow. That took some nerve. But he believed it. But notice, did he run out like a soldier? This is an important part. If you don't get anything else, get this. Did he run out as a soldier? He did not. He couldn't wear Saul's armor. They tried to force him into the soldier mold, and he says, I can't wear this armor. This isn't right for me. So what does he do? He gets his shepherd stuff. He didn't go into battle as a soldier. He went into battle as a shepherd. Saul's armor didn't work. It wasn't who he was. He went out as the person that God made him. The person that God made him. He didn't try to be something else. When you go into battle, you don't have to be the pastor. You don't have to be Brother Tom or Curtis. You don't have to be Andy or Ray or Lynn. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. You are able to win the victories just the way God made you. You're perfect to defeat your Goliath. You are perfect to defeat your Goliath. You can do it just the way he made you. Wow. David went in with shepherd's weapons. Oh, you're perfect for your battles. You're good enough because God will fight for you. You know, if David had actually tried to go into battle with Saul's armor, what would have happened? He probably would have gotten squashed. Goliath would have walked over and gone under that great big giant foot. He wouldn't have been able to do it. Because it wasn't who he was. He wasn't a soldier. Whatever God's made you, he made you that for a purpose, and he made it for you to defeat your enemies. You can do it with God as your ally. Run into battle. Face it head on. You can do it. You can do it. So what exactly does running into battle mean? How does that actually, you know, we're talking kind of in symbols, but how do we do that? How do I run into my battle? Number one, warrior prayer. Not worrier prayer. There's a difference. Have you ever worried before God in your prayers? Oh, God, I can't do this. God, I believe I'm bringing this before you, but I believe you can do it. Pray the word. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I ask or think. I have the mind of Christ. You're going to help me know what I need to. Pray the word. Pray what God already says is true. Believe him to move in that way. Be a warrior in your prayer. And remember that when you're praying, you're fighting a battle in the heavenlies. It says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. Spiritual darkness in high places. When you pray, you're at war with those evil demons that want to keep people in bondage and that want to come against you and want to discourage. You're fighting them. Speak the word against them. The devil yielded every time Jesus spoke the word. Every time he did. Now, you can't speak the word if you don't know it. You got to know it. You got to be in your Bible, and you got to be in your Bible all the time. And if you get into a fix and you don't know what the word is, call me. Call one of the elders. Call somebody. Look at get in your Bible. Find a concordance, but get the word. And find out what God's truth is in your situation. You face a financial problem, let that problem know that God is your Jehovah Jireh. He sees. He's providing. Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals. Bring that in before him. Warrior prayer. Number two, remember that Israel was frozen, paralyzed before Goliath. Take, number two, running at your Goliath, take spirit-led action as God leads you. Positive steps. Doing what you know you need to do, but maybe you were not doing it because you were paralyzed by fear. There are positive things that you can step into and believe for. I know I have been thrust into conflicts at times, and I have not wanted to be there. But I knew that God could take me through it. Go and step forward. My daughter-in-law, Stephanie, this summer, she had a situation with a friend. And there had been a conflict there. This person had done something with her that was just flat out wrong. And she felt like she had to, it would be right for her to kindly confront her, talk to her about it. She's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. And we prayed with her and she did it. And something breaks when we obey, when we take those positive steps. I'm telling my son, Greg, take those positive steps. Do everything, believe God, but then do everything you can to walk in that positive direction. Work with him. I'm watching Pat Regan fight his Goliath back here, and he is doing everything he can, along with praying. God knows. Number three, be ready to call in the reinforcements. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, you can lay aside your fear and say, look, I'm having a problem. You know, people don't like to expose themselves. It's really hard. Some of the best victories I have had over strongholds in my life were where I just said, hey, you know what? I have a problem. Please pray for me. And something breaks. You get reinforcements. You bring in the cavalry. The army's coming in with you now. You're not standing by yourself. Be willing to call in reinforcements. Let people stand with you. You need it. Ask for it. People will pray with you. Number four, we talked about changing your mindset to, in agreement with how God sees you. To take that a little further, change the way you speak. Change the way you talk. If your mouth is constantly speaking negative or discouraging things, you're doing nothing but reinforcing discouragement. Speak life. Speak the things that are life. Change. Sometimes I find myself saying things and I almost step back and look at it and think, did I really say that? How could I say that? And so negative. Sometimes my wife looks at me and says, why are you saying that? It's good for me. It's good for us to think about what you're saying. Speak life. Make sure that the words you're speaking line up with God's word. It'll help you to have the victory. And if you don't remember how to do that, who you are in Christ, then get that sheet off the backboard again. Who I am in Christ. We could probably stand and read that thing every day. Reinforce who you are in Christ. The truth of it. The devil fights against that. And lastly, there's a call to persevere. Some battles take time. It'd be nice if you could whack your Goliath one time with a rock and he's down and he never comes back. Some battles we persevere in. We just have to fight. We have to persevere. You can't expect instant victory. Pastor Dave, I tried all the things that you said and it didn't work. Well, do it again. And then do it again. Sometimes we've walked in ways like that for a long, long time. And you don't walk out of it in one day. Oh, we'd love, instant society. Just take a pill and get it over with. No, sometimes you got to walk it out. You got to persevere. My big thing to persevere, this is a very minor thing. My big thing to persevere in right now is I'm trying to learn orchestra music. And my major instrument was not violin. And I'm trying to learn some of this music to play with the local orchestra. And I got really frustrated the other day. I was playing and I'm like, I can't play this music. And then I realized, I stopped and I said, okay, how many times have I really practiced this music? Oh, 4 or 5 times. And you think it's going to be perfect. And this isn't really your main instrument. Mm-hmm. My kids got really excited about golf at one time. They were just so psyched about playing golf. Well, the truth is we would only go out and play golf like once a year. Maybe twice a year, but usually once a year. And we would go out and we'd play and we would be horrible. Awful. We're lofting balls into the lake, losing them in the woods. And some of my kids would get mad and they'd throw their clubs. It's like, what did you expect? You replay once a year. You think you're going to light up the course? Tiger Woods, you ain't. Sorry. Sometimes you just have to persevere. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep facing the battle. And think about, sometimes the battle doesn't end the way we want you. Think of our brothers and sisters in Nigeria who are fighting battles. And some of them are martyred. Some of their churches, 18,000 churches burned out. And lots of people suffering over there. They're fighting major battle. And the battle to the world might look like you lost. But those Nigerian Christians who stood for Christ, even if they're martyred, they won. They won because they stayed in the face of that Goliath. They held on to Jesus. And they may be suffering. And I want to caution you. Sometimes I hear Christians say, oh, we people in America, we're too soft. The reason we need some persecution. I want to tell you, please don't lay the guilt trip on and say that. Please don't do that. If you're not persecuted here in America, praise God. Thank God that you're not. Paul said we should pray for that we could live peaceably and that we could share the gospel unfettered. Please don't tell people, well, you need a little persecution to make you on fire. Please, we don't need guilt. We don't need that. Can we learn from their example of faithfulness? Absolutely. But you can thank God every day that you live in America where you don't have to face that. It doesn't mean we're better than them. We're just living in a different place and in a different way. But we have our battles. They have their battles. It's the same God we have to hang on and persevere. So we can do it. And if you're made for your battle, and with God fighting for you, you are good enough. You're good enough. And God can take your little loaves and fishes and feed a multitude. He can do that. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back one last time. We're going to close with a song quick. But let's pray. Father, we thank you that we don't have to cower in fear, because your word says that you have made us more than conquerors. And in Revelation, you say to him who overcomes. Father, we want to be overcomers. We want to be people who are able to defeat our Goliaths. Father, we pray that you would help us. Help us to pray those warrior prayers, to be able to move and take action and run as David did. Help us to lay aside our fears and call in the reinforcements when we need to. Help us to speak life instead of death, Lord, and then give us grace to persevere and to keep going, and to knowing that in due season we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. It's a guaranteed. Help us to be willing to run in that direction of the roar and to believe you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are on the throne, and we choose to realize that we are seated in heavenly places with you. Thank you. Thank you for your grace to walk through everything we need to, in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you have a need, someone will be here to pray with you. I heard the Lord say, somebody, God wants to minister to somebody who is facing a financial Goliath. Someone is battling something in the financial realm, and God wants to bring a breaking in that and help you to have peace and victory in it. If you need prayer, please come now. Otherwise, we invite you to stay in fellowship with us for some coffee. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you, Jesus.